Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
YOLO, you only live once. The battle cry of a generation. This life is a precious gift, so don't get too crazy. It's not worth the risk.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The hip-hop parody trio known as The Lonely Island recently released their third studio album. It's called The Whack Album, and it actually debuted in the top 10 of the Billboard charts, giving you some idea as to what big business pop parody has become. Jody Rosen of New York Magazine is their pop music critic and joins us here in the Soundcheck studio to talk about it. Jody, welcome back.
Thank you, John. Hello.
The Whack Album, Andy Samberg, Yorma Taconi, and Akiva Schaffer. I mean, this is big business now. They debuted at number 10 with this record.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're a big deal. I mean, let's forgetting about their, you know, record sales figures, because after all, those don't really matter these days. look at their viral video success. You know, their collectively, their songs have been viewed, forget about listened to, millions of times.
And as you write in your article about them for New York Magazine, their cast of guest characters on this record is worthy of a Jay-Z record.
Yeah. Who's on here? We've got Adam Levine of Maroon 5, T-Pain, Justin Timberlake, of course, their frequent collaborator.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga is on here. You know, a lot of these songs began as digital shorts on Saturday Night Live, where all three of Lonely Island's members were writers. Andy Samberg was a cast member, mm-hmm. of course. But yeah, they command a lot of respect, and they draw a star-studded cast. And I think the secret to their success is both the fact that they're good comedians and fine musicians. They make good records. So these songs work as comedy and as music. They're smart about music. They're kind of, I suppose you could call them music critics in their way. They understand hip hop very well, and they're adept at sending up its tropes.
As they do in this song called Semicolon. This is The Lonely Island from the new record called The Whack Album.
Right under your nose, semicolon, mouth. Opposite and north, semicolon, south. Right over your home, semicolon, attic. Hooked on semicolons, semicolon, attic.
We got the game on lock. Toy chest, you're too big for your clothes. Boys fast. You know we out of control. No breaks. Your birthday party sucks. No game. When it comes to punctuation, you know we're number one. Into the people of every nation. Feel the power of the semicolon.
Semicolons, we rest our case.
No, actually, those are examples of colons. You all get Fs.
Wait, what?
The Lonely Island, featuring Solange, Beyoncé's younger sister.
Right.
Semicolon is the name of that?
Semicolon's the name of that. What they're sending up there is hashtag rap, which is this you know, rap style, lyrical style, where you will say a phrase and then a single word or hashtag that somehow is a gloss or explicates the phrase, whatever. It sounds similar to, for instance, a 2 Chainz song. Actually, that lyric that we heard where they rhymed attic and addict, I actually heard on a 2 Chainz song. So I don't know if that's deliberate or those, you know, great minds think alike.
Yeah.
But in any case, it sounds, you know, the music, I think that's part of the thing. The music, you know, it's actually, that's a catchy song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the song as a song, and it's just, it's hilarious.
It occurred to me as we were listening to that, if I weren't actually understanding the words, I would totally buy that as a song.
Right.
You know, that it would convince me that was just another pop song.
Which is really their secret weapon, I think. I mean, in the piece I wrote for New York Magazine, I talked a lot about Weird Al Yankovic, who's kind of course, the granddaddy of the current wave of pop parodists. But I think, crucially, Lonely Island, they really sound like the stuff that you hear on the radio, whereas Weird Al, okay, he played this, the music sounded somewhat similar, but he was always, you know, singing in that dorky kind of nerd voice, which set it off a bit. Lonely Island, I think their strength really is that they could pass, as you say.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Weird Al, I mean, you also have written about the time back in 1985, I guess it was, when Madonna basically called Weird Al out for not parodying one of her songs.
Right. Yeah. No, this was I think this is another example of Madonna's incredible savvy because, you know, this was when she was it was at the time of the Like a Virgin album. She was becoming Madonna in capital letters, huge. And she was sort of like, you know, where's my Weird Al parody? You know, he's done Michael Jackson. Why? When's it going to be my turn? And sure enough, you know, he came up with Like a Surgeon. But what I think Madonna understood is that when your song is burlesqued, when it's sent up, made fun of, it means it's a major song. It's kind of a, you know, Weird Al in his way is a canonizer, a guy who affirms that this song is a big deal.
A part of our pop culture.
Right.
And in the case of Like a Virgin, it became Weird Al's Like a Surgeon.
I finally made it through med school. Somehow I made it through. I'm just an intern. I still make a mistake or two. I was last in my class. Barely passed at the
Al Yankovic, Like a Surgeon, and who can forget the video of him with the chainsaw?
The chainsaw and, you know, guys in washing scrubs, washing their hands, and someone else doing
the, washing the dishes.
Washing the dishes.
Now, that, you know, that sort of gets to another point of a lot of this pop parody stuff. Very often there's a visual element. I mean, you know, Weird Al was making a name for himself just on the radio, but video really catapulted him and his parodies to the next level. And that seems to be part and parcel of what, you know, The Lonely Island and the current crop are doing.
Yeah, that's what made Lonely Island. And that's actually, I mean, the interesting thing about musical parody today is it's become, you know, via the internet, has become kind of democratized. So everybody and their uncle is doing a musical parody. If there's a song which is a big hit, you know, you get together with your friends in the garage or whatever, turn on the laptop camera, and you can do your come up with your own Weird Al type parody song. And it's very interesting. I think that this has become a kind of lingua franca of popular culture, of pop music culture. In this day and age, I mean, it's definitely a YouTube phenomenon.
Yeah, so everyone's a critic, and now everyone's a parodist as well. You know, Weird Al was here on the show last year at the height of the Gangnam Style thing, and I asked him where's your Gangnam Style? And he basically said, you know, the landscape for making parody music has changed so much with the internet that it had sort of gone past it. The time passed almost as soon as it arrived. This is Weird Al talking about the change in pop parody on Soundcheck last year.
The digital distribution, I think, is going to be helpful. I haven't taken full advantage of that. Because part of what I do is to try to be as timely and topical as possible with the parodies. And just because of the simple fact that the old model was you wait till you have 12 songs and then you put out an album and then it's still months before it actually winds up in the stores. And nowadays, with iTunes and portals like that, there's the possibility for me to get things out more quickly.
That's Weird Al Yankovic. He mentions iTunes there, but let's talk about YouTube. Because that's where, I mean, it's like as soon as something happens, there are parodies of it on YouTube. Bauer, the Harlem Shake, for example.
Right, and that's an example of, I mean, that's a sort of a really weird, curious example of the parody there was sort of a visual joke, right? It was people dancing to this techno track, and when the beat really kicked in, they went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
in offices,
in offices, in unlikely places, in ridiculous costumes. You know, it was. I mean, it's just vaudeville. It's just slapstick almost. But that caught on, and this was at the precise moment that Billboard had, you know, remade its chart algorithm to take in YouTube views. So suddenly this instrumental, vaguely trap music-like track became the number one song.
And when you say trap music, you're referring to the dance style.
Referring to the dance, you know, the hip-hop style.
Right.
It was a song which otherwise would never have cracked the top 100. Suddenly, it's number one song in the country for 5 weeks. And I think that speaks to the power of pop parody at this moment.
Just a little bit of Bauer's number one hit, Harlem Shake, and as Jody Rosen, pop music critic of New York Magazine, was just telling us, it became number one because the Billboard charts were revamped to include YouTube views, and with all the parody videos of that song, it did get catapulted to number one and stayed there for a number of weeks, which just underlines, Jody, the importance of video. We started by talking about The Lonely Island. You mentioned SNL, the Saturday Night Live videos that they did, which however many views they would have had live on TV is dwarfed by what they can do online now, right?
That's right. And in fact, yeah, The Lonely Island's their kind of first, I suppose you'd call it a hit, Lazy Sunday, the Chronicles of Narnia rap. That not only was the song that really made Lonely Island and made Andy Samberg a star, but it also, historians will point out, people who think a lot about YouTube will point out that really was a moment, a kind of watershed moment for YouTube as a medium, that suddenly everybody wanted to see this thing which had been on television in 2005. We weren't, viral videos hadn't quite happened yet. This was one of the very first viral videos. I think, what we're seeing is music, the medium of the internet, and comedy coming together. The comedy piece, I think, really interests me because, if you think about pop music really began as a mass medium, as musical comedy, at the turn of the century, in the end of the 19th century. Vaudeville, variety theater, was the place where pop songs were performed. And many of them came with punchlines. They were funny, jokey, novelty songs, many of them topical. So in a way, we're reverting. We're going all the way back to the 19th century now. We're sort of circumnavigating back to the beginning because, a lot of our songs are songs with punchlines as well.
And a lot of them are coming out of late night TV. It doesn't have to just be Saturday Night Live. I mean, what about Jimmy Kimmel getting in on the act recently?
Right. Jimmy Kimmel, and of course, I think Jimmy Kimmel is trying to keep up with Jimmy Fallon, whose show is really in large part built around musical parody. He has this incredible crack band in the house, The Roots, who can dial up whatever he wants to do. I think one of the measures of this, we talked a little bit about Lonely Island and their incredible guest list of stars. Well, everybody is getting in on this. You'll see big stars. Mm-hmm. Bruce Springsteen will come on Jimmy Fallon's show and he'll make fun of himself in the 80s, dress up like he dressed on the Born in the USA tour and sing a jokey song. And even the President of the United States, Barack Obama, came on and slow jammed the news with Jimmy Fallon and The Roots.
Right. And just last week, Jimmy Kimmel released this song and video called "I Want a Channing All Over Your Tatum," which does in fact feature Channing Tatum along with Jamie Foxx and Olivia Munn, and this is what that sounds like.
I see a pretty lady sipping on a drink. I gaze into her eyes, then our glasses go clink, and I know I want a Channing all over her Tatum. Biatch, when you're splashing in the water and you think you might drown, Channing tosses you his noodle and he calms your ass down. And just what, huh? He just Channing all over your Tatum. Oh, yeah. Bow chime, see that foxy girl turning up that heat. Make her take them heels off, got them tattoos on her feet. And it's you, she want a Channing all over your Tatum.
I mean, what does that even mean?
Well,
it doesn't have to mean.
It doesn't have to mean anything. There's actually a lot going on there when you think about it because, on the one hand, I think we're really going too soon, if we haven't already, start to experience some parody fatigue. When everybody and their uncle is doing it online and now there's, every dork who has a TV show is trying to do their version of Lonely Island. I think not only of Jimmy Kimmel, who's got a little hipness factor, but Jay Leno recently parodied Taylor Swift's 22. That was sort of painful to watch. But if in terms of chanting all over your Tatum, okay, it's a pretty debased version of it. Of it. But it is interesting because you hear Jamie Foxx there kind of setting up the exact kind of like, you know, Casanova R&B that he performs. And I think what's good or what's, you know, different about today's pop parodies, they're really, you know, they are savvy about genre. Mm-hmm. They're making fun. They're knowingly making fun of the sound of pop music and of its, you know, the leitmotifs of various genres. It's not just, for instance, like Tom Lehrer, who was a great lyricist, was a kind of minor right. genius in his way, but all he did was sat down at the piano and, you know, played a song.
Right, poisoning pigeons in the park or whatever.
Right. I mean, poisoning pigeons in the park is an all-timer. That is great. No offense to Tom Lehrer.
Yeah. Well, now let's talk about, you know, the staying power. I mean, you're parodying pop, something that by definition has its moment and then pop, it's gone. So parody, musical parody as something with a possibility of a shelf life would seem to be a kind of dicey situation.
Yeah, I think it probably is dicey in most cases. You know, I happen to, this is getting into my weird personal life, but I happen to collect turn-of-the-century joke books because they're incredible.
Turn of which century?
Turn of the 20th century.
Wow.
They're incredible visual artifacts, but they have great covers and stuff. The jokes are not funny. I can't understand the jokes. They're so unfunny. But, you know, jokes do have a relatively short shelf life. That said, there are some of these things which I think will stand. I think of Lonely Island's, can I say in a box on the air?
Why don't we say Richard in a box? Okay. No, let's say bleep in a box.
Bleep in a box. Yeah, when I think of Lonely Island's bleep in a box, that work?
Yeah.
In any case.
Thank you.
And now that is just sublime. I mean, that's just, it's so funny. It's such a spot on parody of kind of early 90s R&B. The video is great. Justin Timberlake's in it. I mean, that's something, that joke I think will still be funny 100 years from now. Not all of them will.
We've been talking about pop parody and the recent album by The Lonely Island called The Whack Album, which is out now. Jody's written about this for New York Magazine. You can find a link to his article on our website at soundcheck.org. And Jody, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, John.
This is the song that can't mention the full title of that Jody was just talking about from the band The Lonely Island.
A gift for your special, so take off the towel.
Take a look inside, it's my in a box.